So I got a little bit of a mess with my tomatoes going on. That old crystal ball come through here. And we didn't get a lot of, like a hard rain, wasn't like a lot of wind. It was some slow soaking rain and got on down there pretty deep.
It was almost perfect rain.
It was perfect and we needed it. But what happened was, see, I done messed around and growed some fine, big old tomato plants that's loaded. Some of the red snappers I got, and I'm not exaggerating on that big around. I started to bring one, but I couldn't make myself sacrifice a green one. And I went out there the other day, and it had just...
All of them?
Fell. Not all the row, but almost all the row. You see that they're all connected together with that weave, which is kind of a good thing, because yeah. I was able to kind of pull them all back up one time. But what happened was they got so heavy, it broke my wooden stakes. All that rain kind of rotted my stakes a little bit, and then they just fell over, broke. So I had a time, me and the wife was there trying to figure out how to get them back up. Got one row back up, went out there the next day, a piece of another row's fallen. So I got all the T-posts I had and went out there and put those and kind of patched it up with some tomato cages and stuff. But and red snappers make some big old plants, some big old tomatoes, and I guess next year I'm gonna have to throw me a T-post in there ever so often, or not just grow a bigger tomato plant.
One or the other. A lot of our friends down in North Florida, which caught the brunt of that, where they had a lot of problems with their corn falling over, being pushed over, wind blown, whatnot. And it's frustrating. I've had it happen several times. Now, that being said, most of the time you get a good dry day after that, that sun will pull it back up. Uh-huh. I have seen it on one occasion where it didn't, it just laid down flat, but most of the time it'll pull back up and you can salvage a crop out of it.
Yeah, the only time I've seen it where it wouldn't stand back up was I had a fall crop several years ago, right when, I can't remember if it was Irma or Michael come through, one of those hurricanes, and mine was ready. It was right around expo time, right around, and mine was ready, and that come through there. And it put them on the ground, and they didn't stand back
up. Yeah, that's the same year I lost a crop, too. It was a fall crop, but a hurricane got it.
Speaking of corn, I smell corn.
You smell corn? Huh. What kind of corn you smell?
I don't know. I smell some corn. You got any corn over there?
I may have just a little bit.
I got some right here I brought. You did a good job cooking that up. Did you bring anything seasoned with you?
Well, I was going to talk about that in just a minute. You go ahead, and I'll get
so situated. So my Avalon triple sweet corn is a ready, and I say it's ready. I pulled these 3 ears, but as far as pulling for my bags, I'll probably wait a couple more days to pull them. Now these are stored in the fridge for anywhere from 8 to 10 days, so we ain't got to be in a huge rush on these. Just want to show you these ears here. Now what I like about this variety so far, in addition to the fact the seeds germinated real well. They got up, they grow fast. This variety grows out a little faster than the old timing ones. It's closer to 80 days as opposed to 90 days on some of your Silver Queens and stuff. But look how good that tip is covered right there.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of protects that whole ear. It's got a good husk coverage on it, as they like
tight
to say.
Tight ear, as we say.
Tight ear. Got a nice tight ear on it, and that's when you want to get it right there. Is when that dries up on the end there.
I guess it's getting dark. Now, I stole 4 ears when you was busy earlier and went down to the house and shucked it. And I want to talk about how you cook this nuts. Corn on the cob is a pretty simple thing. And you can mess it up if you go to dobbing too much. So you want to keep it real simple. What you want to do.
Can I stop you before you get there?
Well, I
a
guess.
A step or two before.
I guess. I was going to go there.
I'll pull this back here and show everybody. Just so they don't think you cut the ends off of it. We ain't had nary.
I did cut the ends off.
I know, but
I didn't do it on kind of worms.
Right. Just so people believe us, we have nary a worm problem. Those are nice, filled out. I believe that one's filled out some of them.
It is. But now I'm going to tell you, I was going to talk about worms just a minute. If you do have a worm in the ear of it, it'll get in the very tops where it starts at. Comes through those silks there and it starts right there. If you silk that back and there's a worm there, don't panic and throw that ear away. That's a cardinal sin. You take your knife and you cut it out, because that worm doesn't wander all around that corn and eat and mess your whole corn up. He's going to start at the top and work his way down. And 90% of the time, he's up at the top. You cut him out and you're good to go. do not throw it away just because the corn earworm is in there. He ain't hurt nothing. He's eating the corn, enjoying himself, and you really don't want to eat corn that the worm don't want to eat. So think about that. If a worm eats it, it's going to be good enough for you. And just prepare yourself every now and then. You're going to see one, cut it out, and go on.
Now, I did spray these with spinosad one time. I was due to spray them again until we got about 3 or 4 days of rain in a row. I don't know if I'll spray them again. Doesn't look like I'm going to have any problems. I always like to do it at least one time just for kind of insurance purposes. As far as getting from this to that, we'll talk about this. So we got these. We just got these back on the site. These are corn silken brushes. And I'll tell you what, these things ain't as easy to find as they used to be back in the day. You used to find them at your local hardware stores. They ain't as easy to find. This is a good made in the USA silken brush, nice soft bristles on it. And we just got those back on the site for those of you that's getting ready to put up some corn.
And these not an easy way of silken corn. You just manually got to take that brush here and
take
work it over.
And you just kind of, you just want to be light with it. You don't want to poke all
so
your
you got to have a corn silken brush. Now, let's move on to the eating part of it because that's my favorite part.
All right.
It's easy to mess up corn and you don't want to overdo it. What you want to do is when you get it silked, you wash it, of course, and just boil it in plain water. Now, every now and then I get to feeling a little overwhelmed and I put some butter in there, but you ain't got to. Just
I put me a little bit of butter and a little bit of salt.
Well, I have done, but these right here are just boiled in water. I said, I'm just going to do this way we used to. So mm-hmm. Boil it in water because you got good corn. You don't want to mess it up with a bunch else. Then what you need is you need you some good butter. Now, the butter that we like to eat, we call it Amish butter, but it's lump butter. You buy it in a big old chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Roll butter, a lot of people call it different things. Amish butter is what we call it. Then you smear it on there.
You know, hit them one time.
And then hit them one time, and you just kind of let it melt on there. Now, you may want to turn it a little bit and get it outside. I don't worry about getting it all
over.
Now,
they make a little rig. I've seen them before. You can...
Travis, don't complicate this thing, son. It's just straightforward with butter on there.
You can put them on this little rig, and it'll do it all.
Then you got that, and you just want to put you a light dose of salt on there.
Now, I've been known to use a little Lowry's, that red salt.
I have too, but you're getting complicated again. Now, that's pretty simple right there. Butter, salt, and corn.
Have you, did you, you sure you get 5 years and eat one before we started shooting?
No, I did 4 because I did me 3 and you 1.
What do you think?
It's all right. You want to talk some now?
What?
You want to talk some now?
No, are you just wanting to? You just gonna talk? Okay, I'll let you get a good ear under your belt before you can give an honest opinion.
Okay,
okay,
okay.
A few things I did want to mention. So, a good friend of ours, I won't say his name, but he knows who he is from Cordell. A few weeks ago, come by and brought us a bag of blueberries a piece, and I had about forgot about him. I'm glad I didn't. Got my wife earlier this week.
Actually lives at Lake Blackshear, which is close.
Close. He got a Crisp County tag, so I just say Cordell. But he left us that bag of blueberries, and I got my wife earlier this week to make some blueberry cobbler. And you talking about good. I meant to bring some of it. We could have dessert, but I forgot.
We made us a couple of blueberry pies.
Blueberry pies. They were some fine blueberries.
They were.
My blueberry bushes ain't made real well because I don't take a whole lot of care of them, but they hadn't done as well in the last few years. But I do enjoy the fresh blueberries. A couple other things. This T-shirt, I know everybody's going to be asking about. Everybody's been wanting one of these.
So they just made one of them?
They just made one of these, and they said that's all they could make. I'm just kidding. This was a sample I got to make sure it was going to wear good, fit good, and I just ordered several hundred, all different sizes. So we'll have small up to double X.
Big boy.
Yeah. So I wear extra large. He tried it on. It fit him, but it's not really his.
A lot of muscle mass.
Yeah.
A lot of muscle mass here.
So he's wearing a double X, or we'll be wearing a double X. So these should be here. I think my estimated delivery date is around the 25th of June or so, and we'll try to get those on the site as soon as we get them here. It's got the Hulse logo there right on the back top, and this is it. Nice. It's a real soft... fits real good. Nice shirt. So we'll have those. Everybody's been looking for those. The color will be a little lighter blue than this one. This is just a sample they sent me. So the actual color will be closer to kind of that blue right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Should have brought me a napkin.
What'd you think so far?
All right.
And folks that don't like us eating on the show sure ain't gonna like here.
Well,
you,
I'm gonna try
on that corn.
I know, and I was trying to get through with that. Go ahead.
Okay. A few more things. Our sweeps. We got a little change coming up with our sweeps with a wheel hoe. Now, a lot of people like those sweeps. The only limitation those sweeps have had in the past is if you have some real tough ground or some real thick grassy weeds, it could grab hold of that blade and twist it a little bit.
So what we did is we made them thicker, and there's really no downside to that. As I say, I tested the prototypes the other day. They're a good bit thicker than what they were, and I think everybody's going to go crazy with these new sweeps.
Yeah, and if you bend these, I ain't saying they can't be bent, but if you bend these, you're a big old boy.
You're a big old boy. Yep.
So they're a lot stronger on those. I was talking, I had a video come out earlier this week talking about getting rid of what to do with crop debris. You turn over crops, you know, till it in, compost it, or just burn it or whatever. And we was talking about squash, cucurbits in there. And still get a lot of people asking about squash vine borers. And I'm still perplexed as why we don't have issues with them down here, whereas about almost every other pest you could have, we deal with. And so it got me thinking, ooh, your belly growling.
It's belly scratching, trying to get out down there. I might need another year of corn.
It got me thinking, why don't we have squash vine borers? And the only plausible explanation I can come up with it is, We do a good job of rotating, and we do a lot of those cover crops in between and stuff. And so this is what I would like to ask everybody there. Is there anybody out there that does rotate really well and cover crop that still has problems with them? Maybe that would help us kind of figure out.
It would. I would venture to say you're right. We break that cycle of that pest by using those cover crops and good sanitation methods.
Yeah, I would be interested to know if people are practicing those methods and still having issues. So let us know how that's working for you. What else here?
Well, let's talk about cherry tomatoes, man, because they're on the verge of coming in. And I'm going to tell you one that has really had me lustering after ever since we started carrying it. And that is that black zebra cherry
tomato.
Mine are
loaded.
Mine are too. And I'm going to tell you, I cannot
wait. I don't
believe
they're going to turn, though.
I'm going to tell you, folks, if you ain't been to our website to look at the picture of that black zebra, you got to go check it out, because you can just look at it and it just tastes good from the picture. I mean, that's a pretty cherry tomato, and I can't wait till it comes in. That's the one tomato I wanted to make sure that I grew this year.
I didn't bring any, but I've been picking Sun Golds. I got Sun Golds coming in. Those Sweeties, I got them coming in. Them black cherries, mine are loaded. The plants, they didn't take off initially like those Sweeties did, but it took them a little longer, and they caught up. And I'm just waiting on them to turn a little bit, and I'm going to give them a try.
Nothing better than a garden snack on some of them cherry tomatoes.
Speaking of tomatoes, now don't judge me on this one. This was one that was on the bottom, so it's a little boogered up right on top. It was on the bottom of the plant, but this is a Chef's Choice Orange. It's supposed to be really, really good tasting, so I figured we'd give it a little try there. You want to slice us a piece off the bottom?
Well, I can.
I don't know what color on those, because I ain't never grown them before, is ripe.
I'd say it needs to get just a little bit more, would be my guess. You want some salt on it?
I'm just try it just like it is. The texture, it feels like it's ripe.
You know, the little taste test we did last year on tomatoes, we found out that the orange ones did better on the flavor profile than any of them.
That's pretty dang good right there.
Bit my lip. Trying to eat my lip and all. I got a little carried away. That was good.
You gonna be able to continue when you get somebody from the bullpen?
I don't know. Well, this is tearing me up today, this corn and tomatoes.
That's a good tomato right there.
Yeah.
This is, y'all can see the inside of it. Nice and meaty. Ain't a whole lot of extra in there. I'd say that. I mean, I don't know how the flavor would change if you let it sit a little longer, but I'd say that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So I got them coming in. My other ones, I pulled I can't remember if it was a summer pick. One of those I pulled yesterday that was a little bit pink. That's as close as I've gotten on my
I've gotten one or two
bigger tomatoes yet.
I've gotten one or two that's real close. I forgot where's the Brickyard of Bella Rosa, but we were out there at Tomato Peak. We're about a week, 10 days off. Same way with my corn. My corn's about 10 days behind yours, which is going to work out perfect. So when yours is gone, I'll have some to share with everybody.
That's right. As far as, I was going to talk about pickles. So this, I still got way too many pickles. And we did those fermented ones sliced. So I think I'm going to do me some either some whole ones or some spears in my crock next and give those a try. Maybe try a little more of a bread and butter kick on them as opposed to the deal.
I like that bread and butter one.
I'll have to get that going and we can do that.
So I'm going to tell you a little something that happened to me over the weekend. I have a friend of ours that on Facebook, she posted one of her figs. And I looked at it and I said, my goodness, this ain't no way this is right. Her hand was full of figs. That fig was that big around. Did you see me that big around? I said, this can't be right. So we called Carol up and we said, Carol, we want to come for a visit because we want to lay eyes on them big figs you say you got. So we dilly-dobbed over there Saturday, and Carol and her husband was there, and we visited with them for a little while. And I ventured out there, and that was the beatenest thing I'd ever seen. The fig tree was loaded, and I looked inside there, and there was one getting close to maturity, and it was every bit of that big. The biggest fig I have ever seen in my life. Now, this is a dark fig. It turns dark purple. And Carol said that tree had been there 40 years that she knew of. So it just perplexed me to the variety, because I've never seen anything like it, much less something that's been around 40 years. So if anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, let me know a variety. It was huge. And as they say it's good. She didn't know what a closed eye was, but I questioned her a little bit on that. And I'm pretty sure it is a closed eye variety. So I got me one off of it. She had a little sprig off to the side that had rooted down, and we dug it up, put it in a pot, and I got it, and I'm babying it along. I'm going to go back, if she'll let me, which I think she will, and I'm going to air layer me a cutting off of it. I've got to have one of those.
I'd like to have one, too.
It's something that I have not seen before. Man, that is as big as a pear just about it. So anyway, the big figs, we got to get some of those. And let's talk about something you want to do. It's called testimonial.
I want to talk about his corn. Now.
Well, we got to move on.
That's some fine eating corn.
That is some good corn.
Now, I know how you are. You ain't going to say much about it until yours gets ready, and you're going to talk about how all good it is.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you out there, because everybody knows somebody like this, if you got a neighbor or a buddy down the street, somebody you see their garden on a regular basis that swears by Silver Queen, and that's all they'll grow. They won't branch out and grow something else. Plant you some of this, but don't, you're going to play a little joke on them. Tell them you're growing Silver Queen and plant you some of this. And then when your corn gets up, germinates faster, starts growing a little faster and gets ready, you just act like you're better at growing corn than they are. And then when you eat it, you say, boy, I believe my corn tastes better than your does.
See what they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Play a little joke.
Work them over a little bit.
Work them over.
Because we all got them buddies. I got a couple of them. Man, everything they do is the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? You get one up you all the time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing I want to mention before we're going to get into talking about sweet potatoes is this is an idea I got. And this may work and it may not work, but we're going to give it a try. I wouldn't mind having another slice of that after a while. So we get a lot of testimonials and stuff on our YouTube comments, on Facebook. Row by row, you know, people like the way we do things, like a lot of our products, and we love to hear that. But I want to put together kind of a little short video with testimonials from our customers. Now, the ideal thing would be able to drive around to all of them's place and film it there and see their gardens and spend the afternoon with them, but that's just not as feasible as it may seem. So here's what we're going to try. I'm going to put a link.
This is going to kind of be like a slideshow, but with videos, right?
Not going to be a slideshow. It's just going to be like a kind of a little
piece together video.
Yeah. So we're going to put in the description of this video, I'm going to put a Dropbox link, which is basically a link where you can upload a video. And this video, it can be anything. Y'all can kind of shoot from the hip on this, but we just want it to be, you know, testimonial. If you like our products, it could be about a specific products. It could be about anything we do. It could be about our show or whatever. Just tell us, you know, if you've ever written us a testimonial, just kind of put it in video form. Now, we got to have the raw footage on this, and that's why I say you got to upload it via that link. We can't just have it shared on our Facebook row by row page or something. Now, I got to have the raw footage so I can splice it in and edit it. You don't have to shoot this on a fancy camera or anything. You can shoot it on your phone. But a few instructions here. When you're shooting it on your phone, make sure your phone is sideways like this, not like this. So shoot it horizontally. You can set your phone up. Hand me that bowl right there.
My butter bowl?
Yeah. You can have somebody hold it. It'd work better if it was sitting still. Set your phone up on something, talk in front of it. Make sure you've got a decent background there. You can do it wherever you want to. Just make sure the audio's clear. No dogs barking in the background, no wind. And just tell us how you feel about us. And I can't promise that we'll use every single one, but I will say for the ones we do use, we will provide some kind of nice reward for you guys. Now, this is not a paid testimonial by any means, but if we do use any of your footage or whatever, then we'll be glad to give you some store credit or a nice little prize there.
Like a hat or something.
Something other.
T-shirt.
Yeah,
or.
Yeah. Like I said, we probably won't use them all, but the ones we do use, we'll let you know and send you something nice. So let's try that out, and we'll see what everybody sends, and maybe we can put
it
together.
Well, how are they going to know where to send it to?
I told them there'll be a link.
Oh, a link.
In the YouTube
video. I was eating corn, wasn't I?
Yeah. Link. In the YouTube version, there's going to be a link right there. It says submit your testimonial video here, and you just click on that, and you can upload it that way.
Hmm.
And if there's any questions about how to do it or anything like that, let us know. I think I covered everything I wanted.
I'm going to have to put that corn aside before I gnaw my lip slap off.
Yeah.
Let's get into some sweet potato time.
Yeah, we're going to talk about sweet potatoes because, you know, we just got in today our box of sweet potato plants. I believe these.
Good box, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, here it is, sweet potato. You know, well, a lot of people's got their squash and things like that coming off, and it's time to do some succession planting. And what you need to do, if you don't know what to put in there, sweet potatoes is a good one.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, if you live up north, you're probably working on the you may be getting a tad too late. But if you're down here in the south where we're at, you got plenty of time to plant sweet potatoes. Problems are going to be getting the plants because Steel Plant Company has quit shipping plants for the year.
We must have been on the last.
We was on
out.
The last end of it. So next year you want to make sure you order your plants and get your plants before this time. Now that being said, I have planted these things on up until the 1st of July and made a good crop where we live at. So I think where we live in south, you got plenty of time. The problem is availability on plants.
Right, so these are pretty good looking plants. I got 500 Georgia Jets that got sent to us. I can't remember how many is per bundle. Those look pretty good.
They do.
And we're gonna talk about varieties in a minute. But yeah, they have, we just talked to them, was it this morning, earlier this week, and yeah, they said they had quit shipping. There's a couple other people out there. There's that Georgia's Plant Farm that you can, I don't know if he's still shipping or not.
Is that Tater Man?
Tater Man, yeah. I think his website's Tater Man or something. But we usually get ours from Steel, good friends of ours, and I didn't know they had stopped shipping. But
Them's going to be in the dirt soon, I can promise you that.
Yeah.
I got my spot ready.
I do too. So let's dig into sweet potatoes a little more here.
Okay.
So with sweet potatoes, this is what you plant here. This is what you call a slip. Now, you will hear some people talk about a draw. Now, a slip comes off the actual tater, as far as I understand it. A draw comes off the vine.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, some people will use that terminology interchangeably.
Loosely.
The way they grow these things is they basically have these huge, basically like raised beds, and they just fill them full of sweet taters, and they cover them with a little bit of soil or dirt, and then these things just start sprouting up all over the place, and they just go in there and pluck them off of there, wrap them up, send them to you.
Now, if you've never grown sweet potatoes before, you can't plant them too deep. So you want to dig you a pretty good trench and lay them things in. As long as you get some of that out of the ground there, you can be anywhere that deep right there, you're fine.
Yeah, you ain't got to worry. Whole piece in the ground.
Yeah, you ain't got to go back. Normally with plants, with horticulture, you want to go back with existing soil life and what it come out of. Potatoes, not like that. You want to plant those babies deep. Actually, you can kind of lay a trench there and just lay them in there and make sure this top part's out and you'll be fine. How far apart you plant yours?
I was going to say, right, if you look right there, you can see roots coming up a good ways on there.
Yeah, they will.
So I usually plant mine 12 inches apart.
Yeah, I do too. I plant mine on the emitter on the drip tape.
Let's talk about varieties real quick. There's lots of varieties out there. There's only about four we've tried to grow, and we always take good advice from these boys at Steele because they are the sweet potato experts. We grew the Beauregard, I feel like, way early on. The Centennial we grew. Our favorite up till last year was that Covington, and it's still a real good one. And I almost got some Covingtons to grow them side by side with these, but I just went one variety. And that Georgia Jet did really, really well for me last year. Big old taters.
Well, according to the guys, the experts, the Georgia Jet is the best eating variety, and that's the reason we lean more toward that. It grows well in our region. It is a 90 to 100 day sweet potato. It's considered a fairly early maturing sweet potato. So if you're up north, although this says Georgia Jet, this is also a good option for you if you have a shorter growing season. It's high yielding, cold tolerant, 90 to 100 days, a great sweet potato. I do not think it's the prettiest sweet potato out there. It's supposed to have the highest sugar content, but if you're looking for growing a pretty sweet potato that's perfect, I don't know if Georgia Jet would be the one I'd pick.
I would get more number ones out off that Covington than I would the Georgia Jets.
Yep.
But eating wise and making some big old nice sweet potatoes, can't go wrong with that one. Let's talk a little bit more about planting now. And there's some interesting things here I learned doing a little more research on this that I haven't done that maybe I may try this year. Now, we all know that sweet potatoes, they're going to do better in some tilled, well-drained soil. You don't want to plant them in no rocky, hard stuff. Mm-hmm. They're going to like any crop, potatoes or sweet, Irish potatoes or sweet potatoes, they're going to like some nice, fluffy, well-drained soil.
Yes, they do.
From what I found, the best pH is, and this is a pretty tight range, it probably should go from 5.5 to 6, but I read that 5.8 to 6, but probably anywhere from 5.5 to 6, maybe a little over 6 should be fine. On your rows on these, you could put your rows pretty close together, 3 to 3.5 foot apart on the rows. I usually go 3 feet apart.
Yeah, and they're going to cover in, so those middles are going to be covered with potato vines. So as soon as they cover in, it's going to take care of the majority of your weed problem there. Now, if you are prone to nematodes with your sweet potatoes, the Beauregard is considered a nematode-resistant variety.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you could plant that one there. And the Beauregard is a highly regarded variety. It is also considered a early maturing one, so people up north may want to consider the Beauregard. It's nematode resistant, so that'd be a good one to pick if you're up there. If you're wanting to grow the perfect potato, Covington would be the way to go, I say. Plant them deep, as we talked about.
A few more things about planting there. A lot of websites recommend bedding up your rows, and I've never done that. I've always planted mine on the flat. Now, last year, I did have a little issue because I just let mine go, and when it got time to pick them, it was hard to tell where my rows were. So I'm thinking about making me a little elevated bed to put mine on and just trying that this year.
I'm planting on the flat like I always do in a heel to them.
Heel to them?
Nearly cover them up and keep them going.
That's another way to do it.
Yeah, that's the best way for me. And you'll hear some of the old timers are talking about pin potatoes.
P-I-N.
They talk pin taters.
Yeah.
Pin taters is where that vine runs off out there and pins down and it'll put a potato out there. Those normally are smaller. But if you have a real good crop, you'll make it a decent amount of pin taters.
Yeah, yeah. So you can bed them up, especially if you live in somewhere that does your garden doesn't drain real well. You probably I've heard of read stuff. They said make a bed up to 8 inches tall, pretty tall.
I heal my potatoes now. I heal them regularly.
Plant spacing. Most experts recommend anywhere from 10 to 16 inches, 12.
12 works perfect for our drip tape, yep.
Like you said, you want to plant them deep because the roots will pop out all along here. What'd you do with that plant you had earlier? Now, I'll show you, and I did a little bit of this last year, and it worked okay. I saw a fellow on Facebook do this, a market farmer. I think he's up around Kentucky somewhere. Instead of planting them like this, what he did is he laid them down in there You got, it takes a little longer to do it, and you got to be careful. You lay them down in a furrow and let that top there stick out, and he got a bigger bunch off that main portion right there.
That's the way I do it.
So you can do it that way. When you plant these things, and I made this mistake a little bit last year, don't plant them in the heat of the day. Plant them late in the evening.
Twofold. You don't want to get too hot out there planting your taters.
That bear gets you.
Wait till it cools off a little bit. Get out there and get your whole family there. Make it a family affair.
Yeah.
So, y'all, we got something fun to do this afternoon. We plant sweet potatoes. And they'll be rushing out there to help you, I promise you.
Yeah, if you plant them in the middle of the day, it's about like planting cabbage in late September. You can't get water on them fast as you can plant them.
Yeah.
And so you'll lose some out there. So plant them late in the evening so you can get some water on them. They ain't going to get too scorched. These things that take off start growing pretty quick, but you don't want to just let them be cooking out there in the middle of the day.
And the sooner, when you get your plants in, the sooner you can get them planted, the better off you are.
You can take these, and we might, depending on, I don't know if it, mine's going to dry up in the next 1 to 2 days, but you can take this whole bundle here, or you can unwrap it, and you can soak, put it in a little bit of water if you're going to be out a couple days, and that'll keep them nice and fresh.
What would you say about drip tape? Now, my thinking on sweet potatoes and drip tapes, it's almost a necessity.
Well, I have not done drip tape on sweet potatoes or any kind of tater in the last several years because I am prone to overwater and they'll start rotting on me.
The issue has to be whether it turns off extremely dry. Now, if we have a normal year and we get plenty of rain, these things are fairly drought tolerant and they'll make a pretty good crop. But if you get one of those years where it turns off really dry, it's a great insurance policy to put that drip on.
It is.
That's the reason I'm going to use the drip.
And I'm going to use it this year for this reason. I overhead watered my patch last year and it worked fine with that tripod sprinkler. I can do that. Where my sweet potatoes are going this year is it's not in its own plot. It's in the middle of a plot where I've got stuff on both sides that I don't want to overhead water. I got some squash on one side, maters on the other. Don't want to overhead water those things. So if I couldn't get in there with an overhead sprinkler without just wetting everything. So I am going to use drip on mine for that reason because I've got them kind of pinched in one of my garden plots. So you can do it either way. They don't really take a whole lot of water.
Yeah, if there's going to be a something you're going to plant that you're going to try to skim by without the drip, sweet potatoes would probably be it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about fertility needs. And there's a few different sources out there that I cited here just to kind of give everybody a difference in opinion. Now, personally with me, I have made a better sweet potato crop when I don't mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
And on mine, where I'm planting mine this year.
When I keep this in mind, you're following up behind a crop that was fertilized fairly heavy where it was planted at. So you got some carryover there with your nutrients. You can pretty much assure
onions
yourself of that.
I'm following mine right. Where onions were.
Right. Where so was. You got a pretty good load of phosphorus and potassium already.
Yeah. Not to mention I come in there and put in a heap of that compost, tilled it in nice, and I did that about 3 weeks ago or so. So some of that ought to start be converting over.
Yes.
Pretty soon. Anyway, let's go through these three sources. So I looked at what George's Plant Farm, the Tater Man, says. I looked at what Steele's website said, and I looked at UGA's got a really good article out there about commercial sweet potato growing. And I looked at all three of those sources, just kind of compare them. So George's Plant Farm says pre-plant to go in there and till in 3 pounds of 888. Any complete fertilizer would work. You could do the math. It could be 10, 10, 10. You could soil drench some 20, 20, 20, whatever. Per 25-foot row, 3 pounds of 888.
Now, I would not soil drench water soluble on that.
I didn't mean soil drench, but you could put it through your drip.
Yeah.
If you was using drip. And then 30 days after planting, they recommend coming in there and side dressing again with 3 pounds of 888. And
that, 10, 10, 10 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not a whole lot of fertilizer.
No.
Considering you just doing it pre-plant and 3 weeks after. Now, Steel Plant Farm and UGA kind of have the same thought process on this, and they're going with a low nitrogen, really high phosphorus and potassium fertilizer. So Steel recommends something like an 8, 20, 30. I don't really know where to get an 820, 30.
Now, the problem is going to be sourcing some of these fertilizers. We don't carry anything of those analysis, and it's going to be really tough. Now, however, there is a standard fertilizer that used to be used for corn that was a 5, 10, 15 that you can probably find at some of your feed and seed stores that would work in that same proportionate of analysis. 5% nitrogen, 10% phosphorus, and 15% potassium. That would be a good fertilizer used for your sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I agree. So both UGA and Steel says low N, high P and K. Yep. On the sweet potatoes. And you don't want to put too much nitrogen on these guys because you're just going to grow a bunch of vine.
It is in the morning glory family, so it's going to grow kind of like a morning glory. If you know what I'm talking about there, she grows in a hurry. So she can get away from you. A bunch of nitrogen is going to make you have a bunch of vine.
You get out there and dig taters and you ain't got nothing.
You got vine. We don't want to grow vine. We're growing sweet potatoes. Y'all remember that.
And I did read a couple things out there that said they do have some micronutrient needs that should be met. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with mine. This is my sweet potato plan. I'm going to keep it real simple, but I'm going to feed them a little bit. So I'm going to go in there with this complete organic, this hen manure, and where my rows are going to be, I'm going to incorporate me a little bit of this in there pre-plant.
Yeah.
And then 30 days later or so, I'm going to come in there and maybe when I'm healing them one time or so, I'm going to hit them with that one more time. Now that's a lower analysis than an 888 or anything else, but I know I already got a little bit in that soil, so I'm going to just give them some of this right there. And I am going to hit them a time or two, whether I do it through the drip or whether I come along with a sprayer alongside there. You can't hurt nothing with that good stuff right there.
That's a pretty good system there. The only thing I would add to that is you could probably, you said how pre-plant you gonna do that? How much before you plant them?
I'm gonna till mine one more time before I plant. I'll probably put my stakes up so I know where my rows are gonna be, and I'll just scatter me a line along, scatter me some along that line. I'll till the whole plot and I'll plant.
And that's what I would do. Because I didn't think far enough in advance. I've got my spot ready, but I ain't got laid off. It's not going to take me long to do it. But that product there, you can put it out as much as a week to 10 days, incorporate it in before you plant and be fine. That's an organic product, and it takes a little bit for it to break down and start being used. So you got a little bit of a window there. You can use that ahead of time. In a week to 10 days, it works perfect.
Yeah.
And now, if you like us and you didn't think about it and you're doing it right before the plant, that's fine too.
Yeah, and till it in, it'll work real good.
Yep.
What else we got here? Pests on sweet potatoes. Now, some people will claim they have stuff eating on the leaves and stuff like that. And even if I have something eating on my sweet potato leaves, I usually don't worry about it a whole lot. Sweet potatoes are kind of like okra. You know, they grow real well in the heat, and they don't have a whole lot of pest issues.
I don't remember ever having any problems.
And no. I don't ever go out and intentionally spray my sweet potatoes. Now, if I mixed up 4 gallons and I got a little bit left, that's when I go out, I'll spray the rest of it on them.
Yeah, but now sweet potatoes is one of those crops you want to make sure you got a good rotation on.
Yeah, now I don't know that I've ever had scurf.
Scurf? I felt like I may have had it time. Are you talking about sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
Squirf?
Oh. What kind of squirf are you talking
I've
about?
I've had squirf and I ate too much of that sweet corn before.
Squirf.
But you need to make sure you can do a good rotation. Probably, hold on a minute.
So everybody says that a good 3 to 5 year rotation.
A good 3 to 5 year rotation is ideal on sweet potatoes because they do carry some disease. Now, don't get carried away and think that sweet potatoes and iced potatoes are in the same family. You can follow up with sweet potatoes behind iced potatoes because they're in a different family. So that is an okay rotation. You just don't want to plant your sweet potatoes where you had them at last year or the year before or maybe the year before that.
Right, yeah.
Or you'll get a scurf.
My buddy Ken up in North Carolina, he just got through harvesting his Irish potatoes and was asking me what he could plant. I was telling him sweet potatoes is a good bet to come in there
and
behind
it
with.
Oh, yeah, yep.
All right, if anybody has any questions or anything to add about sweet potatoes, we'd love to hear about it in the comments below. If you got any tricks up your sleeve that make you grow a nice bumper crop, let us know about it. Let's get in some questions from last week's show. And if we answer your question on the show, send us an email to cussserve@hostools.com. We'll send you a nice little prize.
Yep. Question number one comes from Tom Jones. Tom says, this may lock your brain up, but I've been wondering, how does a seed down in the ground know up from down?
It's a good question. It did lock up my brain for a minute. I had to go way back deep in memory banks because I remember learning this in botany class way back in undergrad, which had been in the early 2000s. But see how to explain this. But there's kind of two processes that control seed orientation, or seedling orientation, and then plant orientation. One is called geotaxis, and that means orienting themselves based on gravitational force.
Yep, that would have been my answer, by the way.
The other one is phototaxis, which is orienting towards light, or based on light. So early on, when that seed is just germinating, everything's underground, the orientation or the direction of growth is controlled by this geotaxis process. Once it emerges from the soil and gets leaves, then phototaxis takes control on that. And then you may be asking, well, what makes that geotaxis happen?
I was asking myself
I can see it turning up there. So there's these little things inside the cell called statoliths, and they're like these little starch granules, okay? Think of it like marbles in a jar. Okay, that was the best analogy I saw. So if I got a jar sitting up right here and I got marbles in this jar, that's going to make this jar orient standing straight up. But if I turn it upside down or turn it sideways, those marbles are going to make it orient that way. So these heavy little crystalline particles in the bottom of the cell can control in which direction it's growing.
And I feel better already.
And a lot of people have been wondering that.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Maybe you can explain to one of your buddies later on this one.
Marbles.
Marbles, that's good.
Yeah, marbles, yeah.
Number two, Brian Sherman said, and this is not really a question, but he says, y'all are missing out by not growing dahlias.
Is that what he said? Brian.
He don't know, does he?
Brian. So I've had this little experiment going on for a little bit now. Dahlias are very interesting. It's a great cut flower. It probably produces, to me, one of the most vibrant, beautiful flowers that there are out there. But they are tough to grow. Back a long time ago in my earlier life, we was in the landscaping business and we kind of specialized in color. That was kind of our thing. Mm-mm. And we used to do a lot of work for banks and commercial corporate buildings, and they would hire us to come there and do color for them. And we've done some dahlias back in the day, and I knew and I know enough about dahlias that they can be tricky. They're hard to grow. We've been successful with them before, and we've had our failures with them. So my greenhouse, the plastic on it got destroyed back last year with the hurricane. So I did not replace the plastic, and I ordered me some shade cloth going there. Mm. And I ordered a 40% shade cloth, and this is what I said I'm going to do. I found a source for some dahlia seeds. So I ordered me some dahlia seeds, and I'm running a test to see how well this thing works out. And I planted my dahlia seeds in 162s, got them up, and I've transplanted them and got them inside that hoop house with that 40-degree shade cloth on them, and I got them on drip, too. And I'm babying them things along. Now, most of the time, people want to buy dahlias by bulb, and dahlias can be very expensive that way. What I want to do, if this all works out, is be able to offer a dahlia seed and give people a program so they can grow their own dahlias from seed and be successful with it without breaking the bank. Because those dahlia tubers are expensive. You have to dig them up in the season, save them, overwinter them. And here in the South, they just don't do that well. So to answer your question, we are doing a large experiment on dahlias. And I'm interested to see how it comes out.
They don't like the real hot weather. Gotta have some shade.
They do not. Their fertility requirements are really finicky. But the biggest thing is moisture. You cannot let a dahlia stress at all or you're in for some trouble. Zinnias, sunflowers, you can stress those babies, you don't have any problem, but you cannot stress a dahlia.
You got to keep that drip on them.
It will die.
Good to know.
Yep. All right. Next one's from old Kobe Stowers. Kobe asked, do y'all have a company you could recommend for getting things like bare root strawberries, grapevines, and such?
Yeah, I got a couple here. As far as the such goes, If you're looking for fruit trees or anything like that, bare root, our buddies over at Stark Brothers got a real good selection. They specialize in apples, but they have all different kind of stuff, plums, peaches, all kind of good stuff. And I think, did they get away from bare root? They're doing potted stuff now, though.
They're doing a lot of potted stuff. They've made a little bit of a transition. The potted stuff just survives so much better. Bare roots, especially on perennials, can be troubles.
As far as grapevines and where I got my blackberries, a lot of stuff that does really well in the southern states, there's a company online called Isons, I-S-O-N-S, and man, they got some good stuff. I got my bare root blackberries from them. They did great. I think I planted.
Yeah, I don't know the folks personally, but they've got a good website, pretty good customer service. I'd highly recommend them. They are the Muscadine people, by the way. They're known to be Muscadine breeders. So they got more information on their website about Muscadines than anybody else.
And they got about 8 or 9 different varieties of those thornless blackberries. Like I said, the ones I got, I think I ordered 30 or so plants. One of them didn't make it, and that's pretty good success rate. So Isons or Stark Brothers, check out both of those. Would highly recommend both. Number 4. This is from Randy Lawless. He says, quick question, how long does it typically take sunflowers to germinate and grow into a full-size plant? They live in Texas in zone 8A. Got some seeds from us and thinking about planting them near their zinnias.
On the pro cuts, you're looking at 8 to 9 weeks from seed to harvest, 50 to 60 days, somewhere there. Heat makes a little bit of difference. So planting early in the spring, if we have a cool spring, may take you a day or two longer. Planting them in the summertime when you got plenty of heat, 50, 60 days, easy. Sunflowers are almost considered to be a cover crop because they grow so quick they can, you know, shade out some of those weeds. Mm-hmm. So great filler in there if you got something you need to plant in. And of course, they're beautiful.
I would say irrigation also is going to make a big difference on how soon they flower. Those pro cuts, if you just planting them out there, letting them go, they'll come off a lot quicker. You keep the water to the sunflowers, they'll keep growing in it until they flower a little more.
What's happening is that plant is stressing and it's saying itself, look here, I ain't gonna make it much longer. I better put on a seed head so we can reproduce. So it throws that seed head on there. If you don't, and this sounds like it's maybe backwards, but if you don't stress that plant, it's gonna grow taller and it's gonna take a little bit longer to put on a lot denser, nicer seed head.
That's why I got my Giants for my competition. I got them on drip and been babying them along. Is there somebody on the Road by Road group posted a picture? They had a sunflower stalk. Was that big around?
I think it was Gary.
No, I think this guy's name was Brian.
Was it Brian?
Anyway, it was twice as tall as he was.
Y'all trying to grow sunflower stalks, and I'm growing sunflowers. I ain't studying no sunflower stalks.
Well, we got shamed into being in this competition, and now I got to prove
a stalk? What you going to do with a stalk?
Firewood?
Firewood, yeah.
Anyway, well, that's all the questions we got, folks. Get you, check out that link below. Get your little phone video testimonial in here. One thing I didn't mention, I need 1080p quality or better. So if you got a old, what I call Moses Roller, you got an old phone, that may not work. You need a fairly up-to-date iPhone so you can do 1080p. And that's the resolution we need.
Yeah, the iPhones do a great job on video and pictures.
So get those uploaded for us. Be really excited to see what you guys come up with. And that's going to do it for tonight. We hope everybody enjoyed the show. Give us a big thumbs up or a like. We'll see you next time.
Take care.